Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Things are going to start happening to me now.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, October 26, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? What's up? What's happening? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 280 of the Biden-Harris administration, 379 days until the 22 midterms right around the corner. It's getting larger in the rearview mirror, isn't it? You can find me on Instagram. Go follow me now, right now, on Instagram. The Bob Seska, as in The Bob Seska Show. That's where that comes from. And on Twitter at @BobSeska_go, the worst Twitter handle in all of Twitter. Okay, let's bring in Buzz. Let's do it.
When you say Buzz,
Buzz.
You've said it all.
Hi.
Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. Thank you. He, of course, is Bob. I'm Buzz. And we're the Ted Lasso and Roy Kent of podcasting.
I wonder how that breaks down. Can I be Roy Kent? I want to be Roy Kent.
Bloody fucking L. How was that? I'm really getting excited about Halloween. Are you ready? Are you guys ready?
I think so.
Do you get trick-or-treaters?
No, we don't.
That's too bad. No, we get actually quite a few around here. I'm really excited about it this year, and I think the kids will be too. This year I'm handing out Toblerone bars. Toblerone bars.
And you're gonna find them stuffed into your lock and under your door by the next morning.
All right, let's get to the news. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy is in a lot of trouble for raising postal rates for Christmas.
God damn it.
He's now being sued for copyright infringement by the Grinch.
You're an a-hole, Mr. DeJoy.
All right. We found out this week that Joe Biden uses a lot of swear words. That settles it. It's Joe Biden who has all the best words.
Yeah.
See?
Not surprising. If anyone was surprised by that story, you haven't been paying attention. Joe Biden likes the F word. He's a big fan of the F word, just like me.
And not like the former guy. Turns out Donald Trump's new social media website might be using stolen computer code. Gosh, if only there'd been someone to stop the steal.
We're going to talk about this almost right off the bat, right?
Yeah, I am a little concerned about the new name for the company that owns Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I understand they've decided to call it Truth Social. I'm not at all surprised
by
that.
Perfect choice.
We learned this week that Facebook knowingly spread QAnon propaganda between the November election and January 6th.
Jesus.
Whew, talk about a public relations nightmare. Things are so bad at Facebook now, they've decided to just go back to ranking co-eds. Back to their roots.
Yep.
Things are moving quickly now in the January 6th investigation. Just before the show, Steve Bannon was charged with contempt of hygiene.
The Bob Seska Show.
That's my favorite joke in a long time. Hey, it's Dumbtown, Rocky Mountain Mike, and Marion Ann Arbor, right?
When you're at home and don't mind getting exposed, there is a place to go. Dumbtown. You've got no worries because your brain's a bit blurry. Go to Trump's new show.
Dumbtown.
Just listen to the rhythm of his stupid, hateful speeches. Before the night is over, you'll inject yourself with bleaches. Or Mr. Clean. Their lights are on, but they're not there. You can forget all your facts because they simply don't care. There is Dumbtown. It's not so great to tour Dumbtown.
Yeah.
We pop
yeah.
on him for sure. Dumbtown.
Dumbtown.
Yeah. There it is.
Marion Ann Arbor. All right. Yeah. Rocky Mountain Mike, thank you. Yeah, there it goes. Rocky underscore Mountain underscore Mike on Instagram for his wonderful, wonderful photography and song parodies and all the rest of it. Okay.
Great job, kids.
Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, so you mentioned Truth Social. You mentioned Trump's new shitty company and its stolen computer code.
Right.
Your monologue was torn right from the headlines and torn yes. right from my emotional state right now, because
oh, good.
While I am trying to reflect more of the Ted Lasso vibe, I'm trying to look at things in a more positive light. I mean,
good.
Underscore the word trying. And finding myself more and more in the Roy Kent category, at least lately. The last couple of weeks, I've been just Roy Kent, just grumbling and complaining and, you know, the whole rest of it.
Ted Lasso himself, that character, undergoes the same conflict.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can be nicer. You can be more optimistic and still have those anxieties. So
yeah,
you can be both, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's possible. And that's the thing. Our friend Larry Charles, of course, we all know Larry from Borat and all of the best episodes of Seinfeld, for God's sake.
Right.
Yeah, he had a great point about Ted Lasso, and that is that so many of those characters, in fact, all the characters to some degree, are on the edge. And
yes.
the key is
yes.
that they're deciding not to let it bring them down.
And, not to let it destroy them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Wonderful commentary. You got to follow Larry Charles. If you're not following Larry Charles on social media, go do it, because he has great video okay. commentary, especially on Instagram. And so I thought that was a great point, and I hadn't really noticed that. And in fact, we missed one of the episodes when we watched season one of Ted Lasso. Somehow we skipped an entire episode and had no idea that we skipped it when they go off on the bus and they do an away soccer game or football uh-huh. game, right? It's the one where Nate gets trapped in the luggage compartment under the bus, which is
right.
so funny. So that episode, on the first watch through, we entirely missed it, Buzz. We had no idea that it even existed. And we were wondering, well, how did Keeley end up together with Roy Kent? How did that get started? What happened
right.
with Ted and Sassy Smurf? We had no idea any of that happened until just this past weekend when we were watching through the series again, which we like to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we landed on it once more. And it was like, oh, my God, we discovered a hidden episode, a secret episode of Ted Lasso that we hadn't seen before. It was wonderful. Yeah. If you can make the same mistake, I highly recommend making that mistake, because it's
the whole season.
Discovery. Yeah, yeah.
The whole season is worth rewatching.
Yeah.
And I know one of the things I'll be watching at Christmas this year is the Christmas episode that they
oh,
did.
My God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hannah Waddingham singing in that one. Holy
right.
shit.
Yeah. Yeah, she can sing.
And she sings karaoke in the episode that we missed, our lost episode from season one. And she, I think that was the first time she actually sang. Wonderful, wonderful singer. And just one of the best episodes of all time, I think, of the two seasons so far. So suffice to say, I was looking for some great news to talk about to kick off the show today.
Right. Good.
And I've got two wonderful stories, and they involve lots and lots of Schadenfreude on our behalf. I mean, it's
fine.
Great, great news for us. Great news for democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible news for Donald Trump, which is my favorite kind of news. Yes, exactly. Yeah, so we've got this brand new media company that Trump has launched, and
yes.
If anyone believes that this media company called TMTG, and of course its social media platform subsidiary Truth Social, which sounds like Dan Badani came up with it, we all know it's going to go exactly the way of Trump steaks, right?
When it comes to great steaks, I've just raised the stakes. The Sharper Image is one of my favorite stores with fantastic products
Make
of all kinds.
Yeah, yeah, I assure you. Sharper Image is not one of his favorite stores. I don't think he's ever been in a Sharper Image.
He's not one of their favorite customers, so it's even.
Yeah, that's right. If he's been in there, he has shoplifted. He doesn't pay for a goddamn thing.
Well, he stole the computer code, or somebody in his organization stole the computer code, apparently, that they used to build the website, and it's already been hacked.
Yeah.
You're right. It's going to go the way of Gab and Parler and all the other wannabes that can't and won't make it. And now investors have been pulling out, and there's some kind of short sale scam going on with the investors. But they're short, I guess there is short selling now his company.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're going to get into all that in just a second.
You know, it's crazy, but it is good news for us. And it's one of the walls that's closing in on Donald Trump, and they're actually coming from a number of directions. We'd hoped many times, and we'd anticipated many times, that it would happen while he was in the White House. That became clear, certainly in the last year or two, that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
But now it certainly can, and it certainly appears to be moving in on him.
Yeah, and you know what? Look, both of these things could work out just fine for him, but for right now, I just love any news that makes Donald Trump go,
God damn it!
Anything that makes him scream that at some sort of new development is fine with me. Anything that makes him more miserable is great news. Okay, so let's start with this software licensing issue.
All right.
Donald Trump's people, and I don't know who the hell his people are. It could be Barron in Mar-a-Lago putting all of this shit together in his hotel room or something like that. But what they did to build Truth Social, they used this decentralized open source social network called Mastodon. They used that software. And using that software comes with it, of course, a licensing agreement. So they use this software. I'm not sure that they necessarily had to go to Mastodon and ask for permission. I think it's just a matter of if it's free and open source, you can use it. But in order to use it, you at least tacitly agree to their licensing terms. And one of the licensing terms, this is so fucking amazing, Buzz. One of the licensing terms insists that any usage of Mastodon, which is the basic programming. It's like there's some sort of back-end programming that makes Twitter work, that makes Facebook work. They both own their programming. In this case, Donald Trump has built Truth Social around this Mastodon software that he didn't invent. Shocking that he didn't create this, or that his people didn't create, because this is what Donald Trump does. Builds, has someone else make a building, and then Donald Trump goes up and slaps his name on it and calls it his own, claims that he invented the whole thing. That's what Donald Trump does. Everything that he either slaps his name onto or steals outright, he insists that he invented that thing. So in this case, Mastodon and this licensing agreement for using this software to create Truth Social requires that any platform based on that software has to show their source code. So if Donald Trump and Donald Trump's people don't reveal the source code for Truth Social, and the source code has to be revealed publicly, and if the 30 days expires and he hasn't revealed the source code for Truth Social, bye-bye Truth Social. Yeah. He has to start from scratch again.
Well, it's going bye-bye either way, but that's certainly the most likely way it will go down, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
And that will bring about its demise even sooner than it might otherwise crumble.
So what he's obviously going to do, I'm sure, is he is going to countersue Mastodon and say, oh, no, I'm not going to reveal my, you know, I'm not going to reveal my source code to people. Are you crazy? That's crazy talk. No one does. Who reveals their source code? Not me. It's like Donald Trump signing up on Twitter and not realizing that he approved the terms of service for being on Twitter when he signed up, or Facebook, or whatever.
Right.
There are terms of service that you're required to abide. Otherwise, the platform can kick you off. So suffice to say, what's probably going to happen is Donald Trump is going to have to start all over again. They're going to have to rebuild Truth Social from the ground up. Now, mind you, this is part of a strategy that includes immediately taking Trump Media and Technology Group public, TMTG. And so what they have done is they've engaged in this process where they've created an agreement with an existing company. It's a placeholder company on the NASDAQ. They're called SPACs. It doesn't have anything to do with political action committees. It's another acronym. SPACs are the placeholder. And then if you enter into an agreement with that placeholder company on the NASDAQ exchange, then you are, in fact, going public with your company,
okay.
Meaning anyone can buy stock. Well, first of all, who wants to buy stock in anything Donald Trump does? I mean, don't forget Trump Steaks.
When it comes to great steaks.
No, you don't want to get into business with Donald Trump. See also Trump Steaks. See also Trump Vodka. See also Trump University. See the Trump presidency. Everything he touches turns to shit. And there's no reason to believe that TMTG and its various subsidiaries, its whole business plan, isn't going to turn to shit. It is absolutely going to disintegrate and fail. And that brings us to our next bit of good news, Buzz.
Okay,
and
all right.
As you were discussing the short-selling process, well, last week, when this was first announced, the introduction of the Trump Media and Technology Group and the whole idea behind Truth Social and the social media platform he's creating,
right
away, I was like, well, everyone's got to short this stock. If they're going public on the NASDAQ, everyone should get this stock and short it. And not only will you make money because it's bound to fail,
right,
but you will also drag that stock price down. I mean, that's the shit. That's the fuzzy end of the lollipop when it comes to short selling a stock, is it actually dooms that company if enough people end up shorting the shares.
Right.
And what I mean by short selling, it's important to do this little tangent about short selling, Buzz. It's because it's kind of a complicated thing. Short selling is betting against a stock to the point where you make money if the stock price goes down. So here's an example. And first of all, I want to thank Joe Waldschmidt for the explainer on Twitter. He did a great job explaining the whole short selling idea. Heard us talking about it on Thursday. It's kind of confusing. It's like the offside. Speaking of Ted Lasso, it's like the offsides rule in soccer. You know it when you see it. And I think we all have a general concept as to what it is. But here's kind of an example of what shorting a stock is.
All right.
Let's say an investor thinks that, and you're the investor, Buzz. Let's say Buzz Burbank thinks that Trump's TMTG is overvalued at, say, $100 per share. It's down lower. It's I think, $80, something like that right now.
It's not worth that either.
Yeah, but let's say it's just for the sake of a clean number.
Okay.
Let's say it's overvalued at $100 per share, and it's going to go down in price, which we all believe. I was saying this last week. It's going to fail, so the stock price is bound to go down. So in a short sale, the investor, in this case, Buzz Burbank, could borrow a share. This is what's weird about it. You can borrow a share of TMTG from your broker. And you can borrow as many shares as you want. We're just, for the simplicity's sake, we're just going with one share. You can borrow that share and then sell the share for the current market price of $100. If the stock goes down to $50, This is just an example. The stock price goes down to $50.
Okay.
Buzz Burbank can buy the share back at $50, return the borrowed share to the broker, and net a profit of $50. You get that? So
yes.
It's like the reverse of buy low, sell high. It's like you end up making money by selling low. And that's the key. And I know a lot of you, your eyes turned into little X's as I was talking about short.
I feel like I've either watched just watched The Big Short or The Wolf of Wall Street.
Well, The Big Short, that movie is essentially about the same thing. It's a different kind of short sale. And I think in that case, the housing market. Yeah, yes, real estate. In this case, we're talking about shares of a company. Now, the effect, as I said, is if enough people short a stock, then that stock price starts to crash and burn. This is something Donald Trump has done. We were talking about this throughout the 4 years of his presidency, that my theory, and I underscore theory, Donald Trump was
making announcements after he had either shorted or invested in a stock, and then the announcement somehow would affect that stock.
Right.
So, like, for example, every time he would mention the Chinese trade war that he was involved in, right before, my theory is, right before he would announce either good news or bad news on the trade war, he would either invest or short particular stocks that would be affected by that news. This is something that Donald Trump has done forever. It's well documented. It was in that big, long New York Times piece that Mary Trump was involved in the reporting on, where he was doing something called green mailing. I've talked about this in the past, where he and Fred Trump would manipulate a stock, pretend as if they were going to do a hostile takeover of the company by buying up all of its shares. Stock price would go up because Donald Trump would plant the story in the media, and then he wouldn't do anything and sell all his shares as soon as it got to the high point of the stock price. And so that was a manipulation of the stock market.
Let me interject here, because I know it's on the minds of a lot of people. This is another story that underscores the need for laws prohibiting people in our government who are in a position to influence the stock market to be prohibited from owning stock. Why is that a thing? We talk about the dark money in politics. This is the other side of that. Once they get elected, this is the other side of that. It's got to be stopped. We've got to pursue ethics in government.
And you know what? Look, Congress is set up so that there are ethical guidelines that should keep people from doing it, but it's not working.
Right.
You know, having the ethics committee look into so-and-so or have disciplinary action taken against whoever, it's like the wolf, you know, guarding the hen house. It's just not, it's not effective, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there is evidence that that Trump worked to profit from it. A lot of people are concerned that it's the stock ownership and the like, and the contribution money are why Manchin and Sinema are standing in our way right now. And all of this is corruption from Trump to Manchin, from Republican to Democrat, and the Democrats in the House have already adopted changes, rules that would help put a stop to this sort of thing.
Yeah.
But of course, it's gotten nowhere in the Senate, where we have but don't really have a majority.
I think short selling is a piece of shit anyway.
As
difficult as it is to understand, it's also damaging to the economy. And certainly, I mean, I know some people have made the argument that it weeds out the shitty stocks, the shitty companies that put up those stocks. But it seems hinky to me. It seems not on the level to me. And it's probably something that has damaged the economy just in general more than it's helped.
No doubt. I would highly recommend that everyone watch or rewatch The Big Short because it makes precisely this point. And here's why I would encourage you to watch this particular movie. Yes, it's about Wall Street and the stock market, and yeah, that stuff makes my head spin too. But that movie explains it so easily and so well, and with such humor. It's really, really worth your time. You'll be glad you watched The Big Short.
Absolutely. And then Margot Robbie in a bathtub explaining how finances work. That's, I mean, how, well, can, see, you, how can you
okay,
beat
now,
that?
Now you've got them interested.
See, if you missed that movie, you missed that scene. Okay. Well, here's the news. This is the culmination of my short-selling spiel. So this is where you can wipe the little X's off of your eyes and kind of see more clearly where I was getting at with all of this, which is that the acquisition company that is set to bring Donald Trump's media firm public has already drawn, short sellers' attention after an epic run last week. Iceberg Research said in two tweets on Monday that it was betting against Digital World Acquisition Corp, which is the SPAC that Donald Trump has partnered with to bring his TMTG company public. So now investors are already looking at shorting Donald Trump's stock. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Oh, you spazzy white guys in Lower Manhattan, you have impressed me for the first time in a long time, so thank you for that. They have done well, shorting Donald Trump's stock. It says here, Iceberg said in a tweet, "We are short DWAC. Now that initial excitement has passed, we see only risks for investors in the near future. Based on Trump's track record at current price, renegotiation is likely to keep more of the merged company for him. But suffice to say, investors see the same things that you see, Buzz, that I see, that we've all seen with Donald Trump, that, you know, the Rick Wilson thing, whatever Donald Trump touches dies.
I get delighted every time I see a tweet that expresses something I feel, and I think I've even said, and that is that I'm really not that concerned. If Donald Trump were to become the Republican nominee, yeah, he would. That would be a frightening thing. Yeah. I'm just not sure he's going to be available. Between all of the lawsuits and this stuff with the social media site and the lawsuits that'll be associated with that, and the criminal investigations that are also closing in more and more on him, not the least of which is the January 6th commission.
Yeah.
Things are going very badly, really, for Donald Trump and very well for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, one of the reasons it's okay to laugh is because time has proven that what is bad for Donald is good for us.
Yes.
And that really is the case. And there are really a lot of good things to be celebrating right now.
Absolutely. And so there's still hope. I mean, there's still not really necessarily any cause to start leaving the country yet. We're not right at that place yet. So I guess that's something. But
no,
I mean,
stay and fight. Yeah. All kinds of encouraging things. I have a little list here. Tristan Snell, a presence on Twitter, tweeted things that have occurred just in the last week, and I have a couple to add, and I know I've forgotten at least one.
Oh, great.
Oleg Deripaska's homes were raided by the FBI. This is just in the last week. Oleg Deripaska's homes were raided by the FBI. Mm-hmm. Steve Bannon was referred for contempt of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
He's expected to be indicted indicted in the next 4 days or so.
I hope so.
We're getting very close to that. Matt Gaetz has two senior prosecutors added to his case from the Department of Justice in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
The Washington Post came out with that piece on the Willard Hotel in D.C. being the sort of nerve center of the January 6th insurrection and its connections to Trump. Facebook is cooperating with the January 6th committee. And, of course, there was the Rolling Stone bombshell about Facebook this week. Those are from Tristan Snell. Rachel Maddow added last night that it's a very hopeful sign that quiet talks are going on between Elizabeth Warren and Kyrsten Sinema.
Yeah.
You know, we know that she's a mess, but it sounds from listening to Senator Warren, it sounds as though they've come to kind of an agreement on taxing billionaires and certain specific companies like Amazon and Facebook and some of the really, really big companies.
Yeah.
And leaving other corporations alone, which is what Kyrsten Sinema wants. And then the cops walking off their jobs, who cops we know and firefighters, but cops especially, who are leaving their jobs because they don't want to get vaccinated, and that's now required of them. We're better off without them. I think we all agree that we are better off without those guys, and this is maybe the best thing to come along to weed out bad cops.
Only to show up in Florida, apparently.
Yeah, that's okay. Wah, wah. There's the downside.
Yeah.
Because DeSantis, is offering $5,000 a head for any displaced law enforcement officer from any other part of the country who left their job or were fired from it because of vaccine mandates.
Yeah.
And his new public health director here is also anti-vaccine.
Right.
Publicly anti-vaccine, the main health guy here.
And, you know, I want to talk about the Rolling Stone piece, this huge bombshell in Rolling Stone this week. I want to talk about that here coming up in just a few seconds.
Good
week. One last thing here before we take a short break.
Okay.
You can't say anything mean about Donald Trump or Donald Trump's new social media platform on Donald Trump's new social media platform. Apparently, the site's landing page claims that the site is a place for open, free, and honest global conversation. Mm-hmm. However, despite those promises, according to the Daily Beast, Truth Social has already published a long list of prohibited activities, including a clause that states that users must not, quote, disparage, tarnish, or otherwise harm, in our opinion, it says, us and or the site. Users are also told they must not, quote, annoy any of the site's employees. That is such a fucking piece of shit right there.
Right.
First of all, the thing that jumps off the page to me is disparage, tarnish, or otherwise harm, in our opinion.
Yeah.
It completely open to interpretation. So it could be literally anything. If you're mean to Donald Trump and the admins think you're mean to Donald Trump, bye-bye, you're gone, you're bounced from this free and open form of communication, right?
What did you expect from a guy who, as president, wanted to block responses to his tweets and more?
Well, some of the people who have already downloaded the app, which is, it hasn't even really launched yet. I guess they're doing a kind of a soft launch right now. All kinds of people are already pranking the site. Someone was able to register Mike Pence, the account Mike Pence. Obviously not Mike Pence.
Right.
Someone got into Donald, as you said, Donald Trump's account, Donald J. Trump, on Truth Social. Someone hacked it, got into it, and posted a photograph of a pig taking a shit in a trough. Uh-huh. You know, just like perfect. And so, yeah, lots of fake names being added. And certainly this platform is going to be a magnet for every weirdo from 8chan and the pedophile crowd and the Nazi crowd and the white supremacist crowd. They're going to be there posting all of their horrible, horrible memes. Some of the worst things that we see on 8chan or 8kun, as it's called now.
Which is already happening on Parler and Gab in a very small way.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I was going to answer my own question. How do we know this is going to happen, Bob? Well, because we've already observed it. We've already seen it happen time and time again. These people don't know how to run a site. They think that just by saying we're a free and open forum, there's no censorship here, it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be censorship. They're going to have to censor the goddamn thing. And that's the one of the great many contradictions in these far-right social media platforms. They want to create a safe space for conservatives, or not even conservatives, for Trump supporters, for red hats. But they don't want anyone being mean to them on their free speech platform. Heaven forbid.
No, because it was the people who were calling people snowflakes who are, of course, as always, the real snowflakes.
Absolutely. Okay, so today's show brought to you by the Shadow Docket Bonus Show on our Patreon page. We all love it. You know when this happens, when the end credit music stops playing, Buzz and I on Tuesdays, me and the Goth Ninjas on Thursdays, we keep on talking for another 20 minutes, half hour or so, however long it takes.
Here's what you missed last week. We talked about the fact that Mexico is not sending us their best bees. That's the kind of thing you'll miss if you don't subscribe be able to listen to the after docket.
The shadow docket, right?
The shadow docket.
Yeah, it makes total sense. It's our Friday show on our Patreon page is called The After Party. It makes total sense that you would merge those two things because they're very similar. In fact, the Friday After Party is like a more expanded version with Kimberly A. Johnson of the shadow docket shows. They're both sort of uncensored, crazy free-for-alls in which we either talk about politics or personalized, all kinds of revelations happen on the Shadow Docket show. And the point here is that this show, the free show that you're listening to right now, couldn't happen without our Patreon subscribers signing up for $5 a month to our Patreon page in order to get the Shadow Docket show. So if you dig what you hear, please consider signing up for our Shadow Docket bonus show every Tuesday and Thursday for just $5 per month. Used to be called the Postmortem Show. We changed it, and now it's called the Shadow Docket. Same show, same exclusive content, but an all-new name. Again, that's $5 a month at BobSeskaShow.com. Go, run, don't walk. Go to BobSeskaShow.com right now or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, and we thank you.
The Bob Seska Show. How can you be so stuck on the inside? Take my hand if you feel low and you can't see the light, just look outside. I don't care if you don't want to dance to the song this time. Sing with me, it'll be alright. Sing with me.
Oh yeah, brand new to the show. This is recording artist Rod Fritz. Coming to us all the way from Australia.
Wow.
I love it. He was born in Tasmania, which kind of makes me wish the lyrics went like this. I'm kidding. Much better singer than the Tasmanian Devil, I'm just going to say. Rod Fritz, a song called Feeling Alive, rodfritz.com. Link in the description under this episode at bobseska.com. please support all of our indie bands here on the show. BobSeska.com/musictosubmit. And we have a brand new indie music countdown coming up on Halloween. This is coming up Sunday.
Perfect.
As we do at the end of every month. So stay tuned for that. Okay.
I'm so embarrassed. Just a minute ago, I referred to the Shadow Docket, the show that we do after the show, as the After Docket. See, and here's why that's embarrassing.
Why?
I came up with the phrase.
Yes.
I mean, it's a reference to the Supreme Court, obviously, but it was sort of my idea to call part of the show the Shadow Docket. Bob liked it and adopted it, and that's how. And I can't even remember the name that I came up with. I've called it the After Party. I have trouble remembering Postmortem Show. Now I'm just trying to adjust. We're just trying to catch up.
I know, including me. But just remember.
The Shadow Docket.
Remember your ditty here that you recorded special for the Shadow Docket show. Everyone, all the ladies love this.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts and minds of men? What? The Shadow Docket knows.
There you go. See?
See, and you'd think because of that I would remember it.
Yeah.
But no.
That's okay. I mean, people who have been subscribed to the After Party since, like, I think Chez and I started the After Party in 2012 or something like that. Uh-huh. People who have been subscribed from the beginning still occasionally refer to it as the After Show. And it's not the After Show. It's the After Party. See? See, it's like a party.
Shadow Docket.
Shadow Docket.
After Party.
After Those Party. Okay. So, this Rolling Stone bombshell. This now has everyone screaming about applying, what is it, the 14th Amendment, Section 3, which...
Oh, for the lawmakers.
The
Sedition 7.
Right. As part of that, they made it illegal for any elected official in the United States government to run for office again if they have engaged in insurrection.
Or seditionist behavior.
Yeah. So Rolling Stone had this bombshell over the weekend. Just an enormous story in which they
named it. Not the New York Times, not the Washington Post. Ladies and gentlemen, Rolling Stone.
Rolling Stone. Yeah. And it's so seldom that we have been able to reference Rolling Stone in the context of any of this reporting, whether it was going all the way back to Trump Russia in the 2016 election. Rolling Stone has not really been in the center of all of this reporting that's been going on.
The good news is there have been some changes at the top at Rolling Stone, and they're past the Matt Taibbi era.
Thank God. Well, that deserves a round of applause. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's always good to know. Matt Taibbi used to be great, and then he fell in with Glenn Greenwald.
He went nuts, and it really, I kind of think, hurt the credibility of Rolling Stone, but they're back, baby.
So, two sources, both of whom have been granted anonymity due to the ongoing investigation, describe participating in dozens of planning briefings ahead of the insurrection when Trump supporters broke into the Capitol as his election loss to President Joe Biden was being certified. I believe these sources are people who participated in that insurrection. So, along with Marjorie Taylor Greene, Marjorie Three Toes,
right.
Yeah. The conspiratorial pro-Trump Republican from Georgia who took office earlier this year. These sources both say the members who participated in these conversations or had top staffers join in include Paul Gosar from Arizona, Lauren Boebert from Colorado, Mo Brooks, obviously from Alabama, Madison Cawthorn, obviously North Carolina, Andy Biggs, again, obviously, these names are just jumping off the page. Andy Biggs, of course, is from Arizona. And, of course, our favorite, Louie Gohmert from Texas.
There it is. They're your seditious seven right there.
Yeah. So, none of these people should be allowed to run for re-election, and they should be stripped of their seats. They should be removed from Congress.
They should be removed from Congress, and prosecuted. What do you make of the video comparing Marjorie Taylor Greene's gate to the gate of the person who planted the bombs at DNC and near RNC on January 6th.
Oh, my God. I had no idea that was even a thing, Buzz.
Have you not seen this video?
No. Tell me about it.
It's a side-by-side split screen of how Lauren Boebert walks. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Marjorie Taylor Greene walks.
Yeah.
You see how I get them confused. It's a video of Marjorie Taylor Greene walking and swinging her arms in a certain way.
Wow.
And carrying things in a certain way. And there's another similarity. And on the right side of the screen is the video of the little video we have of the shrouded in a hoodie bomber who placed the bombs at DNC and near RNC. That's important to make that distinction because that bomb would not have hurt the RNC. It was behind a bar next door.
Wow.
In that case, the person, we know from surveillance videos that the person, the bomber, walked around the DNC several times before putting down the bomb and walking away. They only came near the RNC and walked away without circling the building. And the gate, and I understand that law enforcement has the ability to scientifically compare the gait of a person from one video to another. And you watch it, the way she swings her arms, in the way she walks, in the way she carries things. You would swear it's the same person. And whether or not the FBI is examining this video, I know certainly independent journalists have been, but there's even that suspicion. These people continue not only to walk free, but to hold seats of power in our government.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there is a 14th Amendment to the Constitution against that. The fact that it continues is baffling and contributes to Americans' perception that there is no justice.
Good thing for the bomber that they didn't wear open-toed shoes. Then they would be able to tell right away. Right. They just count the toes, right?
Exactly.
If the bomber had like giant Fred Flintstone feet, then, it's Marjorie Taylor Greene. Case closed. Right. And she, of course, would have a special kind of walk, I guess, because of those feet. She's got weird feet.
She swings her arms when she walks, more than most people do, and so does the bomber. She carries in her right hand and does other things with her left hand. So did the bomber. It's fascinating to make that comparison.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know if it's her, but the evidence is overwhelming. And even that video comparison aside, just what she's done that you've talked about here is more than enough to remove her and others, the other six, from Congress.
Yeah, this needs to get underway immediately.
Now.
I think there's enough outcry. There's certainly enough evidence to pursue it at the very least. I get the sense, though, that this is something that Benny Thompson and the 1-6 committee are already looking at. Mm-hmm. And this may be one of the things that they end up offering up to DOJ or, you know, to another committee, for that matter, in terms of disciplinary action against these members of Congress. I mean, this may be something that is being looked at for its evidence in the committee already.
Indeed, as Rolling Stone reports, it has two witnesses. It has documents from two witnesses who say they have shared those documents with the January 6th committee and have met with the January 6th committee already. They, both of them, Rolling Stone points out, both of them have still believe that Trump was robbed of the election, but they also feel betrayed by him. He said he was going to march over with them. He didn't.
Yeah.
They heard talk of a blanket pardon from people connected to Trump, and that never happened. So they're highly disillusioned with Trump at this point. And even though they still believe what they believe politically, they want revenge against this guy who screwed them. These are red hats who got screwed by Donald Trump. And this is their revenge. He's talking to the January 6th committee.
And speaking of Trump, Trump shouldn't be allowed to run for office again. This should also apply. The 14th Amendment, Section 3, Trump, should also apply to Trump.
Trump shouldn't be allowed to walk around free.
Right.
He should be locked up. And I think we're getting close to that. And I share the same frustration. We need a special counsel.
Yeah.
We need Merrick Garland to become more aggressive. But at the same time, let me say, we don't know what Merrick Garland is doing in the background.
Yeah.
And if you are going after somebody, the one thing you don't want to do is tip your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So Merrick Garland is either setting us up for a major disappointment or is something that will make us very happy.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do something like that, you have to make sure you have every little duck in the row. You have to make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed, and that everything is precisely correct.
Yeah.
And that you've gathered everything you can so you can throw the book at the person, not just on one infraction, but on a series of them. And these things take time to document. I believe the January 6th committee is doing that. I believe Letitia James is doing that. I believe that the Manhattan DA's office is doing that. I believe that the Georgia district attorney is doing that in Atlanta. They're getting places. They've got witnesses. They've got documents. And they are looking at Trump.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, look, we all know that Trump is guilty. We have the privilege to be able to say, lock him up. That's our prerogative. We can do that. We don't necessarily need the burden of proof to say that. But I think, and this is all in support of the concept of prosecuting Donald Trump, prosecuting every single name that I read a second ago from the
Rolling
Stone
article. We all want the same
thing
on that, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is that Merrick Garland and the Department of Justice, certainly the U.S. attorney in D.C., needs to have evidence. They need to have the ability to prosecute the case based on actual proof.
They don't have the luxury that we have, but that being said, keep up the pressure, friends. My advice to progressives would be understand that there are things going on behind the scenes that you don't know about, but go ahead and keep up the pressure.
Yeah, that's all fine. We need to do that. There needs to be political support as well as evidentiary support for these sorts of things. Political support is vital, and the more people who are on board and who will have the backs of the Democrats who decide to push forward with some sort of prosecution of these people, recommendations to DOJ to do that, they'll only do it if they know that their electoral chances are going to remain just as solid or maybe even improve, as the case may be. So definitely keep up the pressure. I know that Lauren Boebert, meanwhile, released a statement that was just a big, long lie. Of course it was.
What?
She said, I had no role in the planning or execution of any event that took place at the Capitol or anywhere in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. We all know what she was doing on January 6th. Because she was tweeting about it. She was tweeting the whereabouts of Speaker Pelosi. And the intention of those tweets was to, you know, alert the insurrectionists as to where the Speaker of the House was so they could kidnap her or do whatever they were going to do, hang her, as has been theorized. And so all of these people were engaged. And if we're to believe these sources from the Rolling Stone piece here, then we know for a fact that Paul Gosar, Lauren Boebert, Mo Brooks, Madison Cawthorn, Andy Biggs, Louis Gohmert. These all are prime suspects whose names absolutely should be referred over to DOJ for prosecution. This is something that needs to happen. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the committee hasn't already kept Merrick Garland and the U.S. attorney in D.C., whose name I don't recall, you know, completely apprised of any developments like this so that they can be working on the case as well. That's my hope.
Yeah. You know, we know how involved Lauren Boebert was. We know how involved Marjorie Taylor Greene was. I saw a photograph today of some Republican lawmakers, was taken of Republican lawmakers inside the Capitol during the attack on the Capitol.
Yeah.
There were several of them sitting around, smiling, very relaxed.
Yep.
This was during the insurrection. Why were they so relaxed? Why weren't they concerned like everybody else was? And what is it? I can't remember now. Forgive me. Whether it's Gosar or Brooks, and maybe you can straighten me out. One of them wore body armor the day of the January 6th.
That's Mo Brooks.
Mo Brooks. And now he's saying that he didn't have any involvement in the planning of January 6th, but maybe people on his staff did.
Yeah, right.
Good Lord.
Yeah, you know, I mean, well,
how far can we let this go?
Again, this is Trumpism. This is the whole idea that no one takes accountability anymore. Fucking.
The party of personal responsibility.
Yeah. Just own what you have done, for God's sake. If you think that the election was stolen from Donald Trump, say it. If you were engaged in the insurrection, stop making excuses about Antifa or the FBI infiltrators or whatever other conspiracy theory excuse you might have on deck. Just own your actions, you goddamn cowards. You goddamn unforgivable
cowards. They do this thing, and they're like, who, me? Oh, I didn't do nothing.
You're being Roy Kent.
I know. I am.
No, the outrage is correct. And like I said, you know, keep up the pressure, because there has to be justice regarding these individuals, from Trump to the Sedition Six. Sedition Seven, excuse me. And everybody else who was involved in this. We're not letting go of this. We cannot let go of this. If we let go of this, we let go of democracy.
Well, meantime, a team of Trump advisors and lawyers set up a war room at a D.C. hotel. This is all according to the Washington Post.
Willard, named after a rat.
In an effort to overturn the 2020 election and the weeks leading up to the January 6th rally. Insurrection.
Yes,
Stop calling it a fucking rally.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. The group, Rudy Giuliani, Steve Bannon, former New York City Police Chief Bernie Kerik. I can't believe Bernie Kerik is still a thing after what he went through. Remember, Bernie Kerik was supposed to be the first Secretary of Homeland Security.
Mm-hmm.
George W. Bush was going to nominate him to be the Homeland Security Secretary. And of course, everything crashed and burned because he's a fucking dirty cop, always has been. Also, conservative lawyer John Eastman, we know him from the Eastman Memo. American News reporter Christina Bob, retired Army Colonel Phil Waldron, Boris Epstein, and others. They set out to pressure Pence into blocking or delaying certification of Biden's victory, while also publicizing alleged evidence of voter fraud and urging members of state legislatures to challenge and decertify their results.
Mm-hmm.
They called the set of rooms and suites at the Willard Hotel the command center.
Right.
Which was located a block from the White House.
This was an organized, premeditated terrorist act and needs to be treated as such by not only the people investigating it, but the news media
and
the
public. Yeah. And, you know, just real quick, going back to the Mo Brooks Boebert thing, the Rolling Stone piece.
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking a lot over the past few weeks about how our system isn't necessarily set up for a violent invasion of Congress, because we've never done it. It's never happened before. However, we are set up to push back against secessionists and insurrectionists. So as evidenced by 14th Amendment Section 3, this is something that can absolutely be applied.
Yes.
And it's not like this
it
law.
Must be.
Yeah. I mean, the only way they can overturn 14th Amendment Section 3 is to pass another constitutional amendment. This is necessarily something that can be overturned. So it's just a matter of applying it. It's constitutional. This was an insurrection. There's no doubt about this. The only doubt is disinformation being injected into the conversation by Trump supporters and Fox News Channel. And we know that that is horseshit. Anyone with gray matter left in their brain pans should know that this was an insurrection by every definition of the word. Their attempt was to overthrow Congress, at least temporarily enough to change the outcome of the election, while potentially hanging the vice president and the Speaker of the House.
Right.
This was something that was going to go on that day. I mean, if they had been allowed to continue with that operation, if it hadn't fallen to shit eventually, that's what they would have done.
Yeah, we've learned now they had planned to hold the Capitol overnight.
Yeah.
Thank goodness it didn't get that far.
Oh, my God. So the problem is we don't indict these people. If we don't move forward, if they're unable to find evidence enough to make these charges stick, then this is going to just keep happening over and over again. I mean, this is okay. I started the show as trying to be Ted Lasso. Now I definitely am in full Roy Kent mode at this point, because I feel like, yeah, it's getting to the point where if nothing happens, then, you know, we can expect it to happen over and over again.
All we can do, Bob, is believe and believe.
Yeah, it's like a tacit legalization of the process. This needs to be something where if Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Mo Brooks and Andy Biggs and Louis Gohmert and Donald Trump are allowed to continue walking the earth as free people, at the very least, they should never again be allowed to hold office. And we have a statute. We have a constitutional amendment that enumerates this very thing and what should happen in these instances. So let's avail ourselves of this thing that we call the Constitution. How about that? How about that for an idea?
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. One last break, and we'll come back with more things right after.
I have things.
Okay, yeah, lots of things. More things. Okay. right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
In a trapper, a confidence claiming the end of the race. Wandering, I tended to your flock, and I finally had enough as I stared down the clock. I'm so sick and tired.
Oh, yeah. Rebel Queens right here, Waiting Up For You is the name of the song. It's from their EP, It's Raining Rock and Roll. Yeah, rebelqueens.com to support the Rebel Queens. Love these ladies. Holy shit.
You roll the windows down, you crank that up, you do about 65 miles an hour, and you're ready to go.
Absolutely. 17-year-old me is headbanging right now. Okay. getting back into things here on our Tuesday show. Yes. Let's see. More long-term side effects being reported from people who have test positive from COVID.
And right, and that includes people with little or no symptoms. So you can catch the virus, not have any symptoms, but suffer long-term effects in addition to your ability to spread it to other people.
Yeah, this new study is showing that there is a chance of memory loss and brain fog as a side effect of COVID. Long-term
lung scarring?
Yeah. Well, this particular study of 740 patients at Mount Sinai Health System, and many of them suffered from memory loss and other cognitive dysfunctions, commonly labeled as brain fog. The most common cognitive deficits the study identified were memory encoding and memory recall, which showed up in 24% and 23% of participants, respectively.
Nearly one in four, at least.
Yeah. That's, I mean, look, we spend a lot of time talking about, well, you can end up in the hospital, or you can end up dying from this, or you can have symptoms. You know, I think a lot of times we talk in terms of the most severe cases, like hospitalization.
Right. We talk about it's like war. It's like war. We tend to know the casualty numbers, the number of deaths.
Yeah.
We don't always keep track of the number of wounded. And,
right.
And COVID is leaving wounded across America, in addition to the lives it's taken.
Yeah. So one of the things that's concerned me the most in dealing with this myself, one of the things that worries me the most about getting COVID, which I have not yet, is the idea of long-term side effects. And not just the long-term side effects that we know about, the long-term side effects that they have yet to discover, because it's so relatively new.
Exactly.
And so they may find out things 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that make this list of things that we already know even worse.
It has caused madness in some people. It also leaves permanent damage to major organs, including the heart and the brain. You don't want this. And the lungs. You don't want this.
Well, you know, my career is talking spontaneously into a microphone 4 days a week.
And I don't want to be in a place where I'm having trouble with, you know, according to the study, that I'm having trouble with processing speed, which is the time it takes someone to perform a mental task, executive functioning, which is associated with setting and completing goals, phonemic and category fluency, the ability to come up with words based on certain criteria. These are all areas where these 23, 24% of COVID sufferers in this study ended up showing evidence of. And I don't want to be in that place. I mean, that completely decimates what I do for a living.
We have some of those things already. We don't want to make it worse. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you caught me mid-beverage.
I did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. See, I could have made you do a spit take.
Yeah. And there isn't a man, woman, or child who doesn't enjoy a lovely beverage. Am I right?
Or a spit take, mm-hmm. for that matter.
That's right. Okay, now I almost did it.
You must be parched.
When you said spit take, for that matter, a little bit came up into my nose. So
there you go. Well, then my work here is through.
It almost happened. I swear to God. This would be a famous first if I had spewed my coffee during the show.
One of these days, Bob. One of these days.
It's only a matter of time. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. Okay, so that's the latest long-term COVID news. Please continue to stay safe. I see a lot of complacency setting in right now because the numbers are declining. It's the complacency that stops those numbers from declining.
We're still coming into cold weather. We're still coming into flu season.
Yep.
I would like to think that things are going to continue to get better. I continue to hold out hope. Certainly for March of the coming year. I think by then, maybe it will be less of a concern. But right now, it's not, and you're playing with fire going into the holiday season.
Yeah.
With gatherings and such, if you don't continue to take precautions, especially with more people cloistered indoors because of the cold air outside and because of the flu season.
Yeah, yeah. And the time to take action is not when the curves are at their height. The time to take action is when the curves are at their lowest. So what you do is you, in effect, you do the Grover Norquist thing. You know, Grover Norquist always talks about shrinking government so small that you can drown it in the bathtub. That's the idea. You want to shrink COVID so small that you can drown it in the bathtub.
There you go.
Yeah. And so you get the curves down as low as they can go. And then that's when you say, all right, you're doomed now, COVID. We're going all the way with our cautionary measures.
You know,
like we want to do with
Trump.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah. Exactly right. So meantime, let's see what else is going on here. Of course, Biden and the Democratic congressional leaders are pushing for a vote this week on this big reconciliation bill and climate bill, for that matter. An agreement could also allow the House to pass a separate $1.2 trillion bill to upgrade the country's roads, bridges, pipes, ports, and internet connections and send it to Biden's desk as soon as this week. Together, the two packages could dislodge roughly $3 trillion in economic spending initiatives. Chuck Schumer said there were 3 to 4 open issues on the social safety net and climate change bill, but Democrats were, quote, on track to get this done. Joe Manchin, one of the names for our pain, added that he believes a compromise on the package will come together this week.
Because he's finally getting some things his way. And it's hard to pin down Kyrsten Sinema, but Elizabeth Warren is certainly trying to. And I believe Elizabeth Warren is making progress with Kyrsten Sinema.
Yeah.
This is very much scaled down. This is about half the money now we're talking about. Instead of a $3.5 trillion program, we're now talking about $1.7, I think.
Yeah.
While that may be disappointing, and I know a lot of voters are thinking, well, you know, we elected him to do something more drastic. I guess what I would offer is that we need to take what we can get now and use that to get more power so we can do the rest of what we want to do. Be okay with taking it in stages. Be okay with progress, no matter how small. I know a lot of people feel like Biden is scaling back a Build Back Better proposal. Now I understand it's down to just Build Back. You know, you don't want to get down to just build. You know, we would like to build back better.
Yeah,
we may have to do that in two stages.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get some things now, because the packages and the programs included in this bill are so incredibly popular with both Republicans and Democrats that it will be nigh on impossible for Congress to get rid of them in the future.
Yeah.
This is very much like the Affordable Care Act and Republican opposition to it.
Yes.
The public opinion won out over Republican political goals here, and Obamacare is beloved. and is been of great help, especially during this pandemic, and is going strong. And so despite their efforts to try to destroy it, it didn't happen. Well, we could do the same thing here.
I'm glad you brought up the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, because there was something that went on around the scope of that particular piece of legislation and the debate centering around that. Certainly the level of progressive dissatisfaction with the ACA.
Yes, once it remember,
got once it got down to late in 2009, I think, right around Christmas time when it started to get passed, there was a whole progressive movement to kill the bill. I mean, people wanted to actually kill the Affordable Care Act before it got passed. And I'm talking about liberals. Because the notion was, and I remember Cenk Uygur in particular talking about this at length on The Young Turks, where he was saying what should have happened with the ACA is the Democrats and the Obama White House should have started with
shot higher.
Yeah, Medicare for All, and made it this very, very expensive legislation that would have far exceeded what it actually was. Instead of starting at whatever $850 billion, I think was the price tag for the ACA initially, they should have started at like $3 trillion for that and included expansion of Medicare. And so that should have been the thing. Single payer should have been the initial ask. And then it would have been whittled down to something else. See, here's the problem with that. And we're seeing that a little bit now.
Yeah.
Is if you use that strategy, then what happens is the lesser amount that it gets negotiated down to, then the progressives go, well, I don't want to support this now because it's too small. So it's like a lose-lose. Either you start out at that number and negotiate around that number, the smaller number, or you start at a higher number and it gets negotiated down to that number. Well, either way, there's going to be certain liberals, certain Democratic voters are going to be like, ah, fuck. Why wasn't this what I wanted it to be?
We all wanted drastic change, and we still do, but we may have to accept the fact that you can't have it all at once.
Right.
I would explain to the progressives who are disenchanted with the Democrats right now that this is an important victory. These programs, even in the trimmed down package, are so immensely popular, they almost cannot be reversed.
Yeah.
And so they will have to be extended no matter how temporary they are. And they've been made temporary to keep the price tag down. But because we will become addicted to them as a society, it will be easy to keep them going. And they're things we very much need, as the U.S. lags behind in many of the areas like childcare that we're talking about, behind other countries. So this is a chance for us to catch up a little bit. Upon that success, upon the Democrats having passed these very popular programs, and people will be feeling them, those very popular programs, by Election Day, this could carry the Democrats to the kind of majority that will allow us to do the rest of what we want to do.
Well, look, I mean, I want the $3.5 trillion version to pass, too. I want the gigantic climate crisis portion of this passed. I want to see wind turbines at every beach in the United States. Not on the beach, but off in the distance. Because to me, that sight, seeing those wind turbines out there, that is the sound of the future. That is the sound of human beings persevering on this planet safely and healthily, rather than the extinction of everything. You know, so these are all things that I want to see. But the fact of the matter is, we can't get those things because of the 50-50 Senate and the power that that has given to Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. And so I think what we need to do as Democrats is keep our eye on who the flies in the ointment are, and realize also that the 220 Democrats on the House side have passed all the shit that we want.
Right.
It's those
done here.
Yeah, it's the sticks in the mud on the Senate side who are starting it. And if you can somehow lobby them, if you can somehow pressure them, then that is how we should operate as Democrats. We shouldn't be saying, well, fuck all the Democrats. This doesn't make any sense to me. Anyone who has followed this show for the last few weeks or followed me on social media, you know this has been the sandbox that I've been playing in. I'm looking at a different kind of ball game here. It's these Democrats it's that fascism, and that's the choice.
That is the choice. And you know, I see a lot of progressive frustration with what seems to be a lack of prosecution of the insurrectionists, when really it might just be pokier or slower than they'd like it to be. And a lot of frustration with any talk of Biden cutbacks. Most Democrats hell, most Americans support what Biden wants to do.
Yeah.
But because the news media focused on the numbers instead of what the program does and gave the Republicans something to run with, we've been forced to scale it back for now.
Mm-hmm.
These programs, I'll say it again, these programs are so popular, they're here to stay, and they are here to help propel Democrats to a real majority, whereupon we can enact the rest of what we had hoped to do and more.
That's right. Elections have consequences. And in this case, what you don't want to do is make those consequences increasingly negative by not turning out to vote. So what we have to do is, I mean, the reason that the Senate is 50-50 is we didn't work enough, we didn't work hard enough, I should say, to win some of those Senate seats so that Manchin and Sinema wouldn't have this kind of power, so that it wouldn't be a 50-50 Congress, so that we could overcome filibusters and so on, or we could actually pass filibuster reform.
It's got a real majority, and one of the ways we can do that is by getting even the scale back package passed now.
Yeah, exactly. So what we're seeing is, oh, yeah, well, this election with the Senate didn't go our way in 2020 necessarily, even though we did get a narrow majority because of Kamala Harris. The solution to that isn't to make that number smaller, isn't to make that number go from 50-50 to 51-49 in favor of the Republicans, or 52-48, however it divides up. That's not how we work things here. It's despite whether you vote for a third party candidate or not, there are two parties in this country. And the most likely winner of our elections are going to be one of those two parties. And we have to decide for ourselves as voters which one of those two parties we want to have in control. And we don't want the fascist party. That's the
Democrats
fact of the
matter. Or fascists. That's just that simple.
Yeah, yeah.
Now listen, I know you have a list of things you want to talk about in the help me out here, the shadow docket.
The shadow docket.
How'd I do? The shadow docket.
Good job.
I have news about our school board fights and something you won't hear anywhere else, I don't think, about the Voting Rights Act.
Okay, sounds good. Plus, we've got lots of information about Facebook and the Facebook papers. We're going to be talking about that coming up here. Plus, bad news for James O'Keefe. More bad news for James O'Keefe. I'm always happy when one of these stories comes down, so we're going to talk about that, too, coming up on the Shadow Docket Show on our Patreon page, BobSeskaShow.com. That is the website, or more specifically, Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Either one of those website addresses will take you right there to sign up for our Patreon page. $5 a month gets you two Shadow Docket shows. You know, why are we both glitching out on this today?
Maybe we have had COVID.
It's the brain fog. What the hell? All right, it's the Shadow Docket Show coming up next. Right after this music is done playing, we keep on talking and we put it on our Patreon page. It's bonus content for you to keep listening. It's called the Shadow Docket, and we'll see you over there, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.
Shadow Docket.